Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. Tom, I almost said Tom Fairbanks. No, Tom will be on tomorrow. John is on the other side of the glass. And John and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday, January 25th, 2022, now in our 12th year on the radio, right here in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studios. The radio station is 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. We piggyback the live feed from KVOI.com. Our live line on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. And without further ado, let's go now on the live line to Washington, D.C., United States Representative Tom O'Halloran, Democrat representing Arizona's 1st Congressional District. Congressman, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, Bill. Thanks for having me on, and I hope you're doing well, too.
Thank you very much. I see you have joined with, it's actually a bipartisan group of 27 of your House colleagues in calling for votes on legislation to ban stock trading by members of Congress. Why is this a good idea, Congressman?
Well, we are able to get a lot of information while we're in committee, while we're in Congress, that is the other people in America cannot get necessarily. If we want to be in Congress, we should be in it in an ethical way to adhere to certain rules and regulations to not take advantage of that. And it needs to be at the highest level possible. And not trading stocks is one of those ways to do that. It's just the right thing to do. Just like if you're a head of a corporation, you're not allowed to give information to others on stock transactions. You can own stock, though. But here, it's at that next level up. We're making a lot of decisions that have a profound impact on stocks and the stock market and what companies are going to get contracts or not contracts, at least the creation of the vehicle in which they could get those contracts.
So this goes a step further than what was called the Stock Act, which passed in 2012.
Exactly. Yeah. And I've tried to do this ever since I've been in Congress, is try to get more ethical treatment on these stock transactions as we moved along. And those have not been able to make it through. Hopefully those were also bipartisan. Hopefully this one will make it through. We have a lot of good people on it.
Let's talk a little bit about the storm war clouds that are brewing over on the border with Ukraine and Russia. Where do you come down on what the United States' involvement should be? Hopefully there won't have to be an involvement, but if it comes to a shooting war there.
Well, I believe that we as a country are not going to get into the Ukraine as far as other than supplies. That's the appropriate action. Ukraine is not part of our NATO alliance. It will have a profound impact on Europe, potentially, because of the energy issues and the sea lanes that could be impacted. It would have a profound impact on Ukraine, obviously. I was over in Ukraine a little over 2 years ago. I've seen their military. I've seen their weapons and what we've been able to send over to them. They're a small army, and they're not going to be able to stand up to the onslaught of the Russians. And that's why it's so important that the European community and the United States join together, because we cannot afford the underbelly of all of Europe, which Ukraine is, to be held in the hands of a Russian government that at this point in time seems to be adventurous in wanting to gain back some of what it believes is its territory that lost during the 1990s. This is a critical time for America and for the world, and we have to take a very firm position on this process.
When might Arizona see some of this infrastructure money that that was passed from the big infrastructure bill that was passed last year? When were we going to see some money coming in for projects, sir?
Oh, you're starting to see some of it already. If you go along I-17, I know the governor announced a number of months ago, and that this actually is relief money, but $100 million for infrastructure for broadband, and that's fiber optics is being put along the I-17 and I-40 corridors. That's all federal money that the state used, I think, wisely to start to get, develop this. That and that we have plenty of projects that are going to be started shortly on wildfires. The money's being used from that bill already up in the Flagstaff area and over in the Payson area to protect those communities, either the direct communities from wildfire or addressing it from the standpoint of protection of watersheds, especially in the Payson area. And in the Williams area, there's been an ongoing project over there, and money from the infrastructure bill has been now targeted to help with that process of thinning the forest above Williams so that that city doesn't get flooded. And then in Flagstaff here, the same thing's going on. They've had some flooding, but that, the whole San Francisco Peaks area is getting money to be able to start to address that. And more is going to be coming in as we do the planning for it. I was down at the 10-year forest plan for all the forests in America, those programs were brought up as some of the priority programs of the entire country. And so Arizona is getting its fair share on that. On highways, the ADOT already is starting to plan on putting that to good use on our highway system in Arizona. And in every other facet of that bill, you'll see it fairly fast. This year, a large amount of that money is going to be spent, and in the coming years also. And we just have to be able to make sure that we spend it on the priority projects and not just any project that's out there.
You announced a week or so ago that you will be standing for re-election. This will be a new district. The Arizona Independent Redistricting Commission has recrafted what you're currently in what's called District Number 1. You'll now be running in Arizona District Number 2. What does that district look like to you?
Well, I lose the city of Tucson, Oro Valley, Marana, and Saddlebrook. I pick up Payson and Prescott. There's a few more Republicans in that district than the current district I'm in. But the core of the district, about two-thirds of the new district, District 2, is my old district and the core of my old district as far as my support base. Prescott, I represented that area in the legislature for 8 years, so I know the area well and have been able to win in that area in the past, although as a Republican. But I've had a history of getting good crossover votes because of the type of congressperson I am right now, is being able to work with others. And the Payson area, that's in Gila County, and I've been representing parts of Gila County now for 5 years in Congress, and they know me pretty well up there also.
So you'll be losing generally the Tucson metropolitan area to the north there. Still some of Pinal County will be in your district?
Yes, still some of Pinal, and I pick up a little bit of different part, Gold Canyon, but I still keep half of Casa Grande, Coolidge. I pick up Florence, and then I pick up all of Gila County also, so just to the north there.
All right. Congressman O'Halloran, I hope the new year is off to a good, safe, and healthy start for you. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks a lot, Bill. Appreciate it. Have a good one, everybody.
Thanks a lot. Tom O'Halloran, who is the current United States Congressman representing District 1, which is a very sprawling district from the northern areas of the Tucson metropolitan area all the way up to Flag and beyond. All right, we'll pause right here, but first I want to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. Yes, folks, we're in line at 6:30. When they open, of course, they're in line because they want their pastries. Mona's opens at 6:30 in the morning for breakfast. They're open right now for lunch. If you have any questions about what is on the menu, it's all laid out beautifully for you, beautiful color photos at monasdanishbakery.com. Mona's is home of the Danish Kringle and a lot more luscious pastries like regular Danishes, which are fabulous there at Mona's. Northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, Mona's Danish Bakery, open now for lunch. Shelley Fishman with me in studio. Oh boy, the thumb is actually, it's like there's very, you know, I guess you could call it neutral. Not up, not down, but kind of neutral, which, hey, I'd take that after yesterday. Wow, what a day on Wall Street. We'll talk with Shelley about that in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is, Shelley Fishman. Hey, Shelley, how is your week going?
The week is up and down. It's about as volatile
up,
so far as
down,
you can imagine.
Well, yesterday was just, it was weird. I mean, the market, the intraday trading on the Dow was like, I think, over 1,100 points at one point.
I think it was even more than that.
More than that, maybe like 1,200.
I think that at some point during the late morning, we had actually approached the technical description of what a correction would be given the recent highs in the market. Mm-hmm. We were down about 10%. Mm-hmm. And then the market wound up in positive territory for the day.
Giving new meaning to the word volatility. It's like, right. Hey, volatility with whipped cream and a cherry on top.
And if, you know, you didn't like yesterday.
You got today, right?
I thought
last time, an hour or so ago, we were down like 400 points.
Right, and now the Dow is actually up and the S&P is a tiny bit negative. But the NASDAQ is actually still pretty negative. And so what's happening is you got two things going on, just from a tactical, not a strategic perspective. You have the professional investors taking advantage of the suckers who are chasing the curve. So, you know, in panic over one thing or another, let's call it Ukraine today or yesterday, the market starts to tank. Mm-hmm. The professional investors have got a lot of money sitting on the sidelines because that's part of what they do. Waited for it to get to about as low as they thought it might get, and then started buying it up, mm-hmm. Stocks on sale.
Yeah.
You're also getting advice, I think, from some of the financial channels that say in times of high volatility and lots of uncertainty, if you're going to stay in the stock market, which is not a bad thing to do, there is some justification for rebalancing your portfolio a little bit and opting for more high-quality stocks. Mm-hmm. So that's why you see, for instance, right now, the Dow is in positive territory, even though the S&P and the more risky NASDAQ are in negative territory.
The NASDAQ, though, is down a lot.
The NASDAQ is down from its highs.
It's in a correction,
But remember, the NASDAQ has had such a tremendous run for the past 2 years. I mean, you got last year, or going back a year ago, the NASDAQ was up about 40%, and I think this past year it was up, 27%, 28%? I forget the actual
led
number.
Led by Amazon-type stocks.
Led by stocks that are very high-tech and are not likely to pay dividends,
right,
but are reinvesting their money in their businesses as they watch their businesses grow. The problem with that kind of strategy is that it's very dependent upon outside financing. In other words, it's very dependent upon borrowing. And with the likelihood that yet today we could see interest rates nudge up a little bit because the Fed Open Market Committee is meeting today and tomorrow, that the NASDAQ issues that are highly dependent upon credit will begin to show the effects of an increasing interest rate structure.
The 0.25% bump is built in already, isn't it?
Yeah, it's built in. The professional investors have been notified and know that the Fed was going to start increasing interest rates. And so they built a 0.25% into their pricing for the stock market, which is why it's down off of its highs. Now, if Powell gets on the air this afternoon or tomorrow and says, oh, woe is me, we're raising interest rates a full point or 0.75 or even 0.5%, that is going to reverberate through the markets. Mm-hmm. But if he does what he's expected to do, which is to just nudge rates up a little bit and say, you know, we could have 2 or 3 more of these over the next year, the market is not going to react to that. Ukraine, on the other hand, is another issue entirely.
That's like waiting for that other shoe to drop, isn't it? Wow.
Yeah, and that could be a big shoe. I mean, what we don't know is exactly how it will affect our biggest trading partners like those in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Russia is, you know, they're a one-shot economy, which is fossil fuels, oil and gas, and Europe is in the middle of winter, gas prices are up. Europe is very dependent upon the Russians and getting a lot of their energy from Russia. European homes are heated not by coal or by gasoline products, but rather
petroleum
by natural
products,
gas.
Right, yeah, it's natural gas.
And so our trading partners could be significantly affected. Their economies could be significantly affected by Russia using its, this business of, well, you do this to me, I'll do this to you, and this tit for tat kind of thing. And so that uncertainty is a big headwind for the U.S. economy and for U.S. investors. And I think to a very great extent, that's what drove yesterday and today.
The world does not need Ukraine and Russia to go to war right now. We got enough problems.
We don't need a major war in
Europe. We do not.
This is out of my lane, but it just seems to me that there's room to negotiate a way out of this. And I just really do hope that both the Putin administration and the Biden administration, along with our allies in NATO, are able to find a way to calm this down.
The bloodletting on the markets, can that be a positive thing, Shelley? I mean, we had not had a correction since the early days of COVID.
Well,
2 years
ago. That's right, and that wasn't technically. I mean, even though it was technically a correction, it lasted for 3 days.
Right.
The reasons for a correction are to clear out the detritus, you know, that builds up in the market over time, and to make sure that price to earnings ratios
are more realistic. Right.
More realistic.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so, you know, every 4 or 5 years, you get a correction that is kind of textbooky. Mm-hmm. Things go down about 10%. People readjust their portfolios, and off we go again. Mm-hmm. This is not that. This is based upon some fundamentals that are hard to really divine what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen to interest rates. We don't know how the pandemic is going to play itself out. We don't know how supply chains are going to work themselves out. We don't know how the labor shortages are going to work. Right now,
the great resignation.
Exactly.
That's going
on. We've got a 2 million person gap between available jobs and the people who are available to take them. Mm. And people are quitting.
Yeah.
You know, last week we talked about how to do a job interview. Maybe
right.
It was 2 weeks ago. And how to do a job interview.
New York Times must have heard us because the Sunday Times, the business section, spent a lot of time not only on the younger people quitting, and it's like a contagion. One quits in an office, and suddenly there are a bunch of other younger people saying, you know, maybe I'll quit too.
Yeah, you know, let's just do it, right?
And then, so but it talked Times, about resumes in
the
there,
Times
too.
Article on Sunday by Tara Siegel Bernard was really, again, no earth-shattering information here, but she says if you want to quit, there are some ways to go about doing it that, you know, make you not shoot yourself in the foot. I'm not going to repeat what people can read, and I encourage anybody thinking about quitting to read the article and others like it. But the one thing that is so very important, if you're thinking about quitting, think about your health insurance. Think about what happens if you lose your health insurance or have to start paying for your employer's piece of the contribution to your health insurance. Mm-hmm. And if you have a spouse or partner, think about whether they are dependent upon your health insurance or if you can, when you quit your job, get onto your spouse's health insurance. Health insurance is a very large piece of what should go through your head before you quit your job. There are other things like the retirement plan and making sure that you don't shoot yourself in the foot on the way out and do it right. Don't tell your employer to go screw and make enemies forever. But assuming you think that through, the one thing that I think is most important to think about, because it's so expensive, and especially if you have an incident before you get another job, that you really do worry about how you're going to maintain your health coverage in the time it's going to take you to find your next ideal perfect job.
I'll tell you, HR people, this is all a nightmare for them.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
The Human Resources Department, always a valuable place in any business, really has become very, very valuable.
And the way it's worked its way through the economy is really interesting, because people in the lower earnings categories have really done a very good job of pressuring employers to pay more. Mm-hmm. So down in the lower, quarter of wage earners, their pay increases have actually run ahead of inflation. Mm-hmm. In the middle, that's not the case. Mm. Where you know, there have been some pay increases, but inflation is running about even there. So we have some interesting effects on the economy, and that adds to uncertainty because we don't really know whether this inflationary pressure on wages is transitory or is going to work itself out in a more constructive way. So as a result, the stock market is up and down and up and down. It's just a ping pong ball, and if you're a young investor or a middle-aged investor, you know, don't look at it. Just stay where you are. You're fine.
Yeah.
If, on the other hand, you're overly exposed to stocks and you're at or near retirement, that can just be very painful.
All right, Shelley Fishman, always a pleasure. Hope the rest of the week goes very well for you, Shell.
You too, Bill. Have a great week.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Here we go. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We love green things. My goodness. If you need anything for your garden, I mean beautiful things like Talavera pottery, they've got it for you at Green Things, 3384 East River Road. They are very conveniently located right by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's a beautiful 13-acre site. Jan and Jack, the owners, have that place looking really, really fine. And of course, a couple of years ago, they added the Zocalo Village, their sister business. Jan makes some great buying trips down to Mexico, picking up some beautiful handcrafted dining room sets. So she's been in Mexico. They've got other things from Latin America and Europe. Tour the five shops at Zocalo Village. Here are the websites. Green Things open daily, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. With me in studio, our friend Hank Amos, George H. Amos III, known by his friends. And I think I've been a friend of Hank's. I've been in town now 34 years, Hank, and I think we've probably done dozens and dozens of shows together, first on TV,
right,
and now at least twice a year here on radio. Hank is a fourth-generation Tucsonan. He is the chairman of the board and CEO of Tucson Realty and Trust, incorporated back in 1911, over 100 years ago. The oldest Tucson real estate company specializing in commercial brokerage and property management. Good to see you, my friend.
Good to see you again, too, as usual.
So it's been a pretty good 2021. We know on the residential side, it was home run territory.
It was
grand slam home run territory. What about your end on commercial? Well, why don't you begin with residential, some of your remarks on that, and then segue into the commercial business.
Sure. So residential market last year was just phenomenal. It was a record-breaking year. It was crazy. And the year before was a record-breaking year. But I'm going to go over some statistics here that will show the difference in just how good it was. So in 2020, the residential market in Tucson, they sold about $5.8 billion, right?
Said with a B?
With billion? A B, $5.827 million. Okay,
that's a lot of product.
That's a lot of product. This year, they sold $7.448 million. That's a 28% increase over last year in dollar volume sold. So, and last year was a record year. Now, the interesting thing was the number of units. In last year, they sold 19,831. This year, they did 20,687, the difference only being 856. But it was the sales price of what everything was being sold for that caused that increase. So the unit sold was only up 4%. Mm-hmm. The dollar volume was up 28%. Mm-hmm. So we could take a look at, let's say, the average sales price. Mm-hmm. So in 2020, the average sales price of a home was $293,000, almost $294,000. In 2021, okay, this past year, $360,000. The difference being $66,000, the price of a home went up 23%.
Wow.
I've never seen anything like it. It was crazy. You heard all the stories.
So that was my next question. It's not like you got off the bus yesterday. Your family's been in this business forever. You're saying you've never seen anything like this in Tucson.
It's never been anything like this. We had and we had influx of people coming from out of town, moving here.
Were they coming from California mainly? Or?
California.
Chicago area.
Chicago. There's a pipeline from Chicago. Yeah. Really everywhere. Mm-hmm. A lot of the blue states they were coming from and moving here, and it was crazy, but the brakes have been tapped on that market. It's really starting to slow down. It'll be interesting to see what's going to happen next year. We'll know at by the end of March, because the majority of these sales will happen, like the majority of the sales happen, maybe 90% of them, 85% of it happens by the end of June. Okay. Mm-hmm. But the market peaks in March, at the end of March. So we'll know then just exactly kind of where the market's going to go.
What about your specialty? Did it mirror the success of residential?
It did, but not to the same degree, because the residential was just out of the park. But commercial did very well.
If residential hit a grand slam, keeping it in sports analogies, you guys hit a triple.
Just about.
Okay.
Just about. I mean, the residential market was just unbelievable. Never seen anything like it before. Mm-hmm. The commercial market was very good.
Where? What areas of that market?
Almost all areas did well. Offices lagging a little bit. We'll kind of go through those a little bit. Let's start with the industrial market. They actually had a really good year.
So is that like Amazon warehouses and stuff?
That and the plumber who has his shop space and all. So the vacancy is 4.4%.
That's pretty darn low.
Pretty darn low. And remember, we talked about this before. They were just 10 years ago, they were at 12.5%.
Yeah, I can remember the double digit days.
They were always double digit.
Yes.
So now they've done very well. I'll get into it. The net absorption was 1.5 million. Average rent was about $9.50. That's up 6.1%, which is pretty high. The sales volume was 230 million. And if you take a look back in 2010, it was only 22 million. So you can see the difference in how strong this market is. So
that's
one of the
industrial.
Hottest.
Industrial. What's next?
Office.
Okay.
Office. Still struggling a little bit.
People working at home. Is that why it's struggling a little bit or no?
Well, it's a combination of things, but basically, what you have is you're starting to get back to. Here's what business owners figured out. Or what they realized, production dropped, okay?
When people were working at home?
Right. Mm-hmm. Team building and chemistry in the firm, right?
Got it, yep.
Which also leads to loyalty, right? That was dissipated.
People need that human interaction.
They do need that. And then the newbies, they were coming in, they were lagging behind, they were kind of getting lost in the shuffle.
Doing their orientation online, that just doesn't cut it, Hank.
Doesn't cut it, and they couldn't go talk to somebody down the hallway to figure out, hey, how do you do
What's
this?
What's the culture here at this business, right?
Right.
Okay.
So you're going to see that coming back. It lagged. Vacancy was 9.3%. It was 5.5% in 2007 before the Great Recession. Absorption was 259,000. Sales volume was 181 million, which is pretty good. Rent's now $22 a foot. So even though the office market had a little bit of a tough time, just like everything now with this inflationary period, rents were up 3.8%.
What's next?
Retail. So retail did pretty well, but their vacancy isn't as strong as, say, industrial, right, where that really came down. So at its peak was 8.3%. Now it's at 6%. In 2005, it was 3%, right? Mm-hmm. Net absorption was 185,000 square feet. Average rent, $18.25. Rent growth was up about 2.1%. Sales volume, okay, for investment sales, was 739 million. Historically, it's about 266 million. So they were pretty strong.
I'm kind of surprised, because all we hear about is people doing home shopping, you know, Amazon-ish. Stuff.
Well, you're having that. So you're having that battle between bricks and mortar.
Right.
You had a lot of national store closures. Mm-hmm. You had a lot of mom and pops went out of business because
COVID
of the
pandemic,
yeah. Right? Thank God for the PPP, right? Mm-hmm. If the PPP wasn't there, you would have had a lot of retailers that got hurt.
We can do another one here before we take the break.
Sure. The hottest market right now is multifamily. Still the king
like
of all
apartments
the
and stuff
apartments right so vacancy 4.2%. That's the lowest it's ever been. It was 11.1% in 2009. Okay, average rents are just over $1,000. $1,066.
That's up.
Oh, it's up. It's up 15.1%.
Whoa.
And the stat of the year is they sold 1.6 billion in sales. The average is 388 million, 1.6 billion in sales. Just incredible.
Hmm. Do you have any more before I talk about the next segment, which might indicate some storm clouds on the horizon and some issues that could derail this train? Give me another one if you've got it.
Well, just to finish up on apartments, too, the cap rates now on A-class apartments, 3%. I mean, we've never seen cap rates that low before. So it's just getting crazy. Same thing with single triple net tenants like, you know, Dutch Brothers and Starbucks. Mm-hmm. Their cap rates are in the high threes, low fours, right? Mm. So
the capitalization.
Well, so what it is what it sells for and the rate of return that you want. So the higher the sales price, the lower the rate of return, right?
Right.
So when the sales price is down, you're going to get a bigger return. Mm-hmm. So people, they're chasing yield. The yields are so low in the markets right these days that they're willing to take a 3% return or 4% return.
All right. All is not rosy, though. I understand there might be a little bit of, well, we'll talk about that, I guess, after the break, right?
You got it.
All right. Hank Amos with us from Tucson Realty and Trust. The Buckmaster Show continues. Be right back.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the DoubleTree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the Golden Standard for Cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Tom Sullivan here, inviting you to join the rest of us who spend every weeknight from 7 to 10 with The Tom Sullivan Show on 1030 KVOI The Voice.
Welcome back. It is The Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Want to send all of our listeners over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. If you've not been over to this beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment, give it a try. It's only a three-hour drive. So many outdoor activities. I like to be doing some hiking in this kind of weather. This is great temperatures. When you're in the 50s and 60s, it's a great time to do some hiking. hiking, Gila National Wilderness is the place to go when you're over in Silver City for things to do, and there are a lot of them, and places to stay, some really nice places over in that area. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. We continue now with Hank Amos, who is the chairman of the board and CEO of Tucson Realty and Trust. Over 100 years in the, well, actually, Arizona's oldest real estate company. They specialize in commercial brokerage and property management. And as Hank Amos articulated in our first segment, 2021 was an outstanding year. Well, it was a gangbusters year in residential and in the commercial, and it was almost as good. It was really good. One thing, Hank, we didn't touch on, we were going through the list of the different sectors that you kind of keep an eye on and cover, is land. Is land available at a decent price in this area?
Well, yes and no. The problem is finding land that's been entitled or zoned for single family homes, right? Mm-hmm. And we're having a difficult time. So we're moving out into different areas, and it's really hard or difficult for home builders to find that. And so because of that reason, right, they have to pay a lot more when something comes up, and that's reflected in the home price. But unfortunately now what's happening too is the cost of materials and goods are also reflected in that home price.
Like lumber,
right? So the prices of these homes, because they're paying more for the dirt,
right,
and for the cost of materials have really gone up. And you're gonna, and that's reflected. So normally, you know, you get a better buy on a resale home, right? Because the new homes are up higher, but the resale homes also kind of follow and tread towards the new home sales a little bit. So you're going to see home prices continue to rise a little bit on that. But that's the hard thing right now. I mean, you just can't find the dirt. The other thing that's selling, like small lots here in town where you can put a single tenant retailer on there, mm-hmm. You're paying for that dirt, right? Mm. So those prices have really gone up as well.
Remember the days when you were on the TV show, say 15 years ago, and we said that downtown was basically nothing was happening. It was like dead. What's the story now?
Downtown is really doing well. It's starting to be seen as a model across the United States of what you can do to a downtown. Mm. And so, you know, it's getting that recognition. I would say Rio Nuevo had a lot to do with it because there were incentives there that brought in private money that helped build certain things like hotels and restaurants and multifamily apartments and everything. And you needed those incentives to really kickstart because downtown was dead. I mean, you used to be able to walk down there, you could shoot a gun, you weren't going to hit anybody.
The only
right?
time you went down there in the old days was just for like jury duty.
That's about it, right?
Yeah, really.
Yeah. If you were going downtown, you were in trouble.
Yeah,
you're either going to see a lawyer or you're going to court.
That's right. That is so true.
Or you're going to go catch a bus.
Yeah,
that was it.
Something. I mean, right. Okay. So what's your kind of the Hank Amos optimism scale for 2022?
Well, that's the big news, right? So I think the brakes are being tapped on the residential market.
Right.
I think there's a lot of black swans or big storm clouds that you're seeing, and it's not just like in the distance, but they're really coming up. And it's like the monsoon. You can see the lightning going on and everything. So you have issues like
that's happening. International scene is not exciting.
We can be in a war.
It unfortunately could be exciting, but it's not good news.
No. So you got Ukraine. Inflation is a 40-year high. It's the highest it's ever been. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Yes.
It's not transitory. It's permanent, right? So some of it will come down, but you can't go to somebody that you just hired and you're paying them X amount of dollars and say, hey, you know what? You're going to take a pay cut now.
I mean,
those things are baked in the cake, as we say.
Yeah.
And so now restaurants, right? You have all that labor you're paying more for just to get them to stay.
If you can even find people.
If you can get them. And now you're seeing that reflected in the, you used to be able to get a good steak for $15, $18. Now that steak's going to cost you $30 or $25 or $40.
Restaurant prices are just going up.
They're going crazy. So you have inflation, you have supply chain issues. So how can you have productivity, right, and produce goods and services, right, if you can't have the supply chain rolling and you have labor shortages. Mm-hmm. So you have that happen at the same time. Interest rates are going up. That's always slowed down growth.
The pandemic is still hanging on 2 years
later. Pandemic is hanging on. Yeah. You have the markets tanking. You have asset bubbles everywhere. Mm-hmm. So Bitcoin's already off 60%.
Yeah.
The market's starting to shed. Raw materials, those costs are super high. Real estate, housing prices, all-time highs. So I think there's a lot, gas prices off through the roof.
Yeah.
So there's enough black clouds here. It only takes one of these dominoes to fall mm-hmm. that could put you into a recession. So I'm nervous. You know, I don't see a rosy picture. I think next year could be an okay year, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But there's enough there that we could start going into a recession. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're due for one. We haven't had one since
10 years or so.
Something like that, right? And it's usually every 7 years that you go into one. So I just think that—
A year ago when you were with us at the beginning of the year, you were really optimistic.
Very optimistic.
You were like 180 degrees
away. I told you it was going to be a record year,
you
and it
did,
was.
You did. Yeah. But right now I'm hearing, hey, you're not seeing it yet, thank goodness, right, in your business, but we might see it down the road here.
Right. There was a
You're saying maybe spring?
I don't know when it's going to happen, mm-hmm. but I think a clearer picture, the fog's starting to dissipate a little bit.
Yeah.
And a clearer picture is going to present itself probably at the end of the first quarter, second quarter. But I'm predicting in the near term that we're going to probably go into a recession of some kind. When that happens, I just don't know. But there's enough of these black swans flying around that I think it can start that domino effect.
Does the interest rate hike affect, I'm sure it does affect certainly residential. Does that affect you on the commercial side as well?
To a degree. So in commercial, we're tied to the 10-year treasury. So almost all commercial loans are tied to that. And then a bank will lend it so many bips over that, right? Mm-hmm. Over the 10-year. Mm-hmm. So the 10-year's moved. It was down around 1.5. It's still at 1.7, 1.8. Mm-hmm. That's still pretty good as long as it remains under 2. But once it starts clicking up above 2 or 3, then the problem is you have some of these people that are paying these crazy cap rates on deals mm-hmm. that eventually a year from now or 2 years from now when they have to refi, they could be upside down mm-hmm. because they paid so much and now they're upside down with the cap rate.
So in conclusion, your remarks are?
2021 was a record year.
Right.
It was phenomenal. It was awesome in every way you can think of. And 2022... I'm a little concerned. I don't know exactly where it's going to go, but I don't think it's going to be a record. I know it's not going to be a record year. And I think we're starting to look at signs of a recession coming up.
But 2021, the year just passed, you were very happy with the way things turned out. Is that safe to say?
I would say, I predicted a record. It was better than I thought it was going to be.
All right. Hank Amos, Tucson Realty and Trust. Always good to see you, Hank. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday afternoon. We will do it all over again in 23 hours at 12:04 tomorrow. And we will have our Tucson Tourism Report. And hopefully that is starting to look a little better as we get in here to the winter prime season. On behalf of Hank Amos, with me here in studio, John on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the show, Bill Buckmaster saying, have a great afternoon.